We open our Bibles together, please, in the book of Revelation, chapter 20. Chapter 20, Revelation. And let's just read some verses from God's precious word here, Revelation, and the 20th chapter. And let's turn to verse number 1. And there are three passages of God's word we want to turn to this evening. And I trust indeed you'll do that with me. And first of all, in Revelation chapter 20. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the keys of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Let's just bow our heads for a wee word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee and we praise thee for thy precious word, and we love thy word. And we rejoice that we have the living word of God, because this word liveth and abideth forever. We thank thee, our God, that thou hast given to us thy word. And, O God, I pray that you'll help us to read it, help us to meditate upon it. Stir our hearts, we pray, and cover us afresh in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. O God, bind the strong man, we pray, and give us perfect liberty in the ministry of thy precious and thine infallible truth. We pray in Jesus' precious name and for his glory. Amen. I want us to take one little word in the Word of God, and I want us to notice three passages that are mentioned in God's Word concerning this word. If you find it in verse number 3 in chapter 20, that's the first one. And it says, and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more. And there we have the moment when the devil is shut up. Then turn to the book of Genesis chapter 7. And in Genesis chapter 7, verse number 16, because of time, we just have got to go to the word. Verse number 16. And they that went in, male and female, of all flesh, as God had commanded him. And the Lord shut him in. And so therefore we have, first of all, the moment when the devil is shut up. Secondly, the mercy when the saints are shut in. And then the last one is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25. And Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, and the verse is the verse number 10. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage,
and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins. And that's the misery of the sinners shut out. And therefore, the three thoughts I want to leave you this evening. First of all, the moment when the devil was shut up, or is shut up. The mercy when the saints was shut in. And the misery of the sinners shut out. Three times it mentioned that word shut. Shut up. And shut out. Shut in. And shut out. First of all, I want you to turn with me to Revelation chapter 20. Because quite often, whenever you turn to Revelation 20, it's from verse number 12, or rather verse number 11, that preachers start. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it. And they seem to forget the rest of the chapter. But friend, there's an interesting part here. Because it says, and just let's read it again. I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit. And shut him in, or shut him up. Now you'll notice here that whenever you and I are traveling, you and I have to travel with a passport. And whenever you're traveling with a passport to a foreign country, all your names are recorded on the passport. They're recorded as you were given them. I was given Robert Thomas William. Now, of course, my name's William. But whenever I'm traveling to any other country, I'm not William. Because as regards those there, as far as the authorities are concerned, my name's Robert. Because that's the first name. And so we find here that on the passport there, the officials will read your name. And they'll read the names that you have been given by your parents. Now the devil gives, the Bible tells us here, God gives the names of the devil. It says he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And so the dragon, that old serpent, the devil and Satan, there's no doubt of whom God is talking about here, that he's put into the bottomless pit and he's shut up. Now we live in an evil world, friends. Sin abounds on every hand. But thank God there's coming a day, and this ought to rejoice the hearts of the children of God. There's coming a day when the Lord Jesus Christ will be absolute control on this earth. What blessedness it will be when the Lord Jesus Christ reigns upon this earth. Now, of course, God tells us of the time that Jesus came first. And what a difference the Lord Jesus Christ, whenever it was noised abroad that Jesus Christ was in the house. And he went from village to village. He went from place to place. And there were people. There was the blind. There was the lame. There were the burdened. There were the tormented by Satan. And what a difference the Lord made in their lives, because the Lord delivered them. He delivered them all. Of course, whenever we think of what he did when he was here the first time, what will it be when the Lord Jesus Christ takes the reins of this earth? When the Lord Jesus Christ reigns upon this earth, onto uninterrupted mercy on this earth. Now, of course, yet it's not heaven, friend. Heaven will even be more wonderful than that it is. I can never comprehend the glories of what it'll be to be in heaven. The hymn writer says, but what must it be to be there? But thank God one day I'm going to be there. But here on, say a person before we move on, that's not the end for you. Because it's not heaven for the unconverted. It's not heaven for the person who's not born again of the Spirit of God. It's hell instead. And I cannot comprehend the awful tragedy of what it means for a soul to be lost in hell forever. To not only be doomed, but to be damned in hell for all eternity. Now the Bible tells us here that the devil is put in, verse number 3, and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years shall be fulfilled. The devil is going to be bound 1,000 years. He's going to be cast into the bottomless pit. He's going to be chained. He's going to be shut up. He's going to be sealed in that bottomless pit. So secure will that place be that he will never during that 1,000 years, friend, deceive the nations anymore. He's going to be cut off in the bottomless pit. You see, God tells us that God put Adam and Eve in a beautiful garden. And God says, of every tree thou mayest eat thereof, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But that was the tree that the serpent drew Eve's attention to. It was as if God had not given the rest of them. It was that one tree that the devil drew Eve's attention to. And there in that garden, the devil deceived Eve. And the devil corrupted the heart of Adam and Eve, and they fell into sin. And by one man, sin entered into this world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men for all of sin. And Jesus talks about the devil, and he says to him, the devil is the father of all evil. He's a murderer from the beginning. He's the father of lies. He's a deceiver. But friend, there's coming a day when he'll be shut up. There's coming a day that he'll be cast into that bottomless pit. He will be shut up and a seal will be put upon him. And the Word of God says this, that he should deceive the nations no more. Now that's for the 1,000 years. He shall deceive the nations no more. And you know, when he's shut up, thank God, he'll not be able to deceive. You know, there are many names, as I said, for the devil. And let me just mention, for example, Satan. Satan means adversary. Your adversary, the devil. The devil means slanderer. Beelzebub means the prince of demons. He's called in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10, the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire. He's the great deceiver. See, the mission of the devil is to deceive men, just as he deceived Eve. See, the words of the devil, they are to mislead you. They're to get you to do what's wrong. He plants seed in your minds that'll bring forth thoughts that are wrong. For example, he wanted Eve to think wrong of God. Hath God said, you may not eat of that tree? You see, God knows the day that you eat thereof, you'll become as gods. In other words, God's unfair. God's holding out on you, Eve. He's not letting you be your full potential. No, he's holding out of you. And Eve had a wrong thought concerning God. And of course, the deceiver comes to sinners and tells them, you know, you're all right. You don't need to be saved. You don't need to be born again. You don't need to be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. You don't need to be ready for heaven. You're just all right the way you are. Just do the best you can. You're good enough. Maybe the devil says to someone in the service, you know, you were brought up in a Christian home. You had godly parents. God would never send you to hell. Whenever you look at sin, friend, the devil says, but that's not sinful. Just take it. Just as he said to Eve, just take it, Eve. Just take it. And so he sowed the seeds of wrong, of sin, in her heart. And she took and she gave to her husband. The old devil says to the sinner, you have plenty of time. Oh yes, he might even agree. Yes, you need to be saved. Yes, you need to be born again. But you have plenty of time. You know, enjoy life to the full. Just wait. Wait until your deathbed comes. And then, get right with God. He's a deceiver, friend. And the devil sows those seeds of deception in the sinner's heart to damn your soul. But thank God, when Jesus comes, the devil's going to be shut up. He's going to be shut up. Oh, the moment when the devil is shut up, no longer able to tempt, no longer able to deceive. The Word of God says that he should deceive the nations no more. He's not going to be able to deceive them anymore. But then the Word of God says, let's go down to verse 7 quickly. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. Tell me, do you think that whenever he has been incarcerated in hell for 1,000 years, that he had learned something? Has he? Read the verse now. Verse 8. And shall go out to deceive the nations. He goes back to his old path. He goes back to his old duty. And when the devil is released, he goes out to deceive. Deceived. To deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth. Gog and Magog. No, people, whenever they read that passage of God's word, say, listen, 1,000 years of the reign of Christ, and the devil has been shut up, and he's not able to deceive them for that 1,000 years. Surely men will never follow the devil again. Surely they will not listen to his lies anymore. The Word of God says the very opposite. For he goes out to deceive the nations. In verse number, it says, to gather them together to battle, the numbers of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them all. You see, the people still followed him. And people will. And men will be deceived tonight. And the tragedy is this, there are perhaps some people sitting in God's house. And you're following the deceptions of the devil. And he has plans for you, friend. He wants to take you to hell. He wants to doom your soul forever in the lowest pit of hell. But thank God there's coming a day. And the devil, verse 10, that deceived him was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophets are and shall be tormented day and night forever. Yes, this is the devil's day, friend. This is the day of darkness. This is the day when the devil is on the rampage. This is a day when the devil's deceiving men and women. And yet, thank God we have the assurance there's coming a day when God's going to shut him up. The moment when the devil was shut up. Then turn quickly to Genesis chapter 7. The mercy when the saints were shut in. The Bible tells us in verse number 16, and they that went in, male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. You know, whenever you read the sixth chapter of the book of Genesis, it's a sad chapter. Because God looks upon the face of the earth. In verse number 5, it says, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, until it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. It grieved God at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, the creeping things and the fowls of the earth. For it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. What I want you to remember is this, friend. The sinfulness of man was great, but the sinfulness of man didn't take God by surprise. If you go back to the fifth chapter of the book of Genesis, you'll read about a man, his name, verse number 21. It says, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. Now that's interesting, because you know, in actual fact, that shows us what happened in this old world did not take God by surprise, because this man was called Methuselah. And the meaning of the word Methuselah is, when he is dead, it shall be sent. And God revealed to Enoch, this man who walked with God, friend. In actual fact, he walked so close with God. One day, at 365 years, God said, Enoch, come on home with me. And the Lord took him. But God revealed to Enoch that the judgment day was coming upon the earth. And he called his son Methuselah. And Methuselah, let me tell you this, he lived longer than any other person. But even that came to an end, because it always does. It means, when he is dead, it shall be sent. And so we find, as Methuselah lived all those years, friend, God was extending mercy to man. But there came a day when that was over. And Methuselah, after 969 years, his eyes closed down. And he died. And the day that Methuselah died, friend, as he breathed his last, the thunderstorms of God's judgment burst forth. And the heavens opened, because when he is dead, it shall be sent. Now what God did in the intervening time was this. He sent his servant Noah. And Noah preached for 120 years, and he faithfully warned his people. And he told them that the day of judgment was coming, that God was going to judge the earth. But man simply provoked God. And he lived a life of provocation. He continually lived in his evil, sinful ways, until God looked upon man. And it says he saw the wickedness that was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continue. And God says, Noah, I want you to make an ark. And Noah provided an ark for the saving of his house. And then one day God said, Noah, come on in. And Noah came into the ark, and thank God he got his wife in. Thank God he got his three sons in. Thank God he got their three wives in. In other words, Noah got the family in. And friend, let me tell you, that's the greatest blessing for any father, is to see the family saved. to see the family in to Christ. And as Noah walked up into the ark, let me tell you, friend, and as he stepped in that door, it says, and God shut him in. Now the storm came, and the rain fell. But thank God, the God of heaven piloted the ark, and God shut him in. The mercy when the saint was shut in. Are you shut in tonight? Friend, can you honestly say, yes, preacher, thank God, I'm absolutely sure I'm in Christ. I'm in the ark of God's provision. I'm hiding under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me tell you this, my friend, as that water, the waters rose and the ark rose upon the waters, and the storms were breaking forth, and I hear the thunder as it roars, and the old ark, it tosses from side to side. Yes, Noah may have fallen in the ark, but thank God he couldn't fall out of the ark, because God shut him in. Thank God, when a man's saved, when a man's in the ark of God's provision, friend, he's safe for all eternity. Yes, as we travel through this world, there are times we falter, there are times we stumble, there are times we fail, but thank God we'll never, ever fall out of the ark of God's provision. For we're saved for all eternity. As we read this morning around the communion table, that through the blood of Christ, Jesus obtained eternal redemption for us. The day and the mercy when the saint was shut in. The last thought as time's away tonight. Turn your Bible to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25. Another familiar story that many knows, it's the story of the virgins. And in this chapter, we have that well-known story of the five wise and the five foolish. But before you come to chapter 25, go back to chapter 24, friend. Because you find there in the 24th chapter, the Lord Jesus is speaking about his return. Verse 42, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Verse 44, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. And the Lord Jesus Christ is reminding his disciples and reminding the people, yes, he is coming again. We don't know when he comes, but he says, be ready. Be ye also ready. And then he goes into chapter 25 and verse 1 and says, then. You see, there were no divisions in this discourse of Christ, friend. We have the division of the chapters to help us in our study of the Word of God. But there were no divisions in this discourse of Christ. The Lord Jesus is continuing. As he talks about his second coming, there's no break in the Lord's discourse. And then he reminds them, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps, and they went out to meet the bridegroom. What was the Lord talking about? His coming again. And friend, let me tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ will come the second time. It's inevitable. No man can stop it. Thank God, he says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, John 14, I will come again. And I'll receive you unto myself. I'm reminded at World War II, General Douglas MacArthur was forced from the Philippines during World War II. And he left a promise to the Philippine soldiers. He promised them that he would return and he would free the island from the occupying forces of the Japanese. And the promise he made to them was this: I shall return. And that promise inspired the guerrilla forces during the dark days of the war. And they continued to fight. They went into the jungles and they fought in the jungles. They did what was necessary because they remembered what MacArthur said: I will return. They knew that their battle was not hopeless because they were waiting for the moment when MacArthur, General MacArthur, would come and he would deliver them. And they fought on in the light of that promise: I will return. It was coming near the end of the war. And the hopes of these soldiers were renewed, the Philippine soldiers renewed, because Allied planes flew over the jungles and they dropped supplies down to them. And in those supplies were pictures of MacArthur with the words: I will return. And as they lifted the supplies and they saw the picture of MacArthur and they read the words, I will return, they got renewed determination to continue the battle. Until finally, MacArthur came and he delivered them from the oppressor. Let me tell you, friend, Jesus says to the children of God tonight, I will return. That's his promise. I will return and receive you unto myself. And here the bridegroom is coming. And there were 10 virgins, but 5, verse number 2, 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. And let me tell you, friend, it says, likened unto 10 virgins. Now, it didn't say 5 were virgins and 5 were harlots. It doesn't say that. It says 10 virgins. In other words, from the outside, they looked identical. They all had their lamps in their hands, carrying it. When the bridegroom came, they looked alike, but they were not alike. Because there were 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. What was the difference between those? Go down the verse in the passage of God's word, friend. Verse number 10. The bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him. And the door was shut. At the midnight hour. And the cry went up, behold, the bridegroom cometh. And the 5 arose. And friend, they carried their lamps. And they had light in their lamps. They had oil in their lamps. They were ready for the bridegroom's coming. But it wasn't until the midnight hour that the 5 foolish realized they had no oil. They'd all planned to be at the wedding. But good intentions were not enough. I don't believe there's a man or woman in this service tonight that intends to go to hell. If I were to go down and face everyone and ask you this question, do you want to get to heaven? I believe that every last one of you would say, yes, preacher, I want to be there. Do you intend to get? Yes, I intend to be there. But friend, good intentions were not enough. These 5 foolish intended to go in with a bridegroom, but they weren't ready. And friend, tonight I say this. It says, they that were ready went in with him. It didn't say, they that intended to be ready went in with him. No, it says, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. But verse 11. Afterward came also the other virgins, say, Lord, Lord, open to us. Let me tell you, that five foolish virgins, they had the opportunity to get ready. But they didn't. And friend, tonight you have the opportunity to get ready. God's given you a blessed opportunity in this service tonight to get ready to meet the Lord. I do not know the day of my death. I do not know the day of your death. I do not know when the Lord will come. But it says, be ready. Thank God for those who are. But oh, the misery of the sinners shut out. Lord, Lord, open to us. And with this I close. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Friend, are you ready tonight? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? And if the Lord was to call now, or the Savior was to come, are you ready to go in with him? Or will you wait when it's too late? And the midnight hour, and the midnight cry goes up. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. And it's too late to get ready. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Let's bow our heads before God tonight. Heavenly Father, as we bow before thee tonight, we thank thee that we rejoice there's coming a great day when the devil will be shut up. We thank thee that was for many of us a great day in our lives when we were shut in and closed in with Christ. We thank you that we'll never perish, neither shall any pluck us out of thy hand. You so loved us that you gave your darling Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. And thank you, Lord, we believe. Our trust and our faith is in Christ and in the finished work of his cross alone. His blood and righteousness is our only plea. His work upon the cross of Calvary on our behalf is our hiding place. We thank thee that we rest our soul upon that finished work of Jesus Christ upon the cruel tree of Calvary. We thank thee that he shed his blood that we might be redeemed. We thank thee that there he paid the price. Thank God, thy Son obtained for us eternal redemption. And that's why we could sing tonight, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. But O God, we fear for those tonight that are living with good religious intentions of getting to heaven, but they're not saved. They're listening to the deceptions of the devil that their good works is enough, or that there's plenty of time, or they can wait until their deathbed, and then God will hold out the lamp of mercy one last time. And oh God, we fear that there's a day coming when they'll be shut out. And they'll cry as the rich man did in hell. But his cry was too late. They'll pray, but their prayer's too late. Oh my God, give the sighting grace tonight. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, friend, and the meeting will be over in a moment, can I ask you a question? Are you sure? Are you sure you're ready to go in with him? And if you're not, then run to Jesus tonight. I beg you in God's name, run to Jesus. Thank God he'll save you. Him that cometh, her that cometh to me, says the Lord, I will in no wise cast out. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, and the meeting will be over in a moment, friend. I wonder, is there one in this gathering that God has spoken to your heart? And friend, you know you're not ready. You know you're not saved. And friend, the devil has deceived you. And he's still deceiving you. And the old deceiver will go out to deceive you again tonight to take you to hell. Or throw aside in God's name the devil's deception and listen to the one who is the truth and come as a sinner to Jesus. Is there one tonight, as every head is bowed and God's people are praying? Sister, plays one little verse of that lovely old hymn. Just as I am, without one plea, O Lamb of God, I come. Sinner, will you come tonight? Just as you listen to the music of that hymn, will you indicate that desire? If there's one right now in this service, father, mother, son, or daughter, and you're not saved, maybe there's a backslidden heart, you know you're far from God tonight. Say, preacher, lead me to Christ. Would you lift that hand right now, friend? Indicate that desire right now in God's name. There's coming a great separation. Families will be separated forever. The saved will go to heaven. And the ungodly will go to hell. Is there one? Oh God, I pray in Jesus' name, let not one be lost. Give deciding grace tonight. Give them grace to come. Give them grace to call. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.